You've seen these amazing redstone machines, but you have no idea how to get started. This stuff can get complicated quick. I'm here to simplify it. Let's learn some redstone.
Netcasts you love from people you trust. This is TWiT. Video and audio bandwidth provided by CacheFly at cachefly.com.
Hello and welcome to OMG Craft. I am your host, Chad Johnson. In this course, we are going to be getting into the basics of redstone. Redstone is the internal wiring system in the game, which you can use to create huge machines, computers, whatever, doors, if you just want a door to open at your command, all of those things in game. So, we have broken up this course into five different sections. First off, the basics of redstone and its behaviors. You'll learn about the various components of redstone, inputs and outputs available to you. Then second, we're going to talk about the unit of time in Minecraft called ticks and how redstone updates with repeaters. Then, we're going to talk about the new stuff, analog redstone. Next, we're going to dip our toes into the deep end and look at a few logic gates. Finally, we're going to show off other people's creations and some machines that you can use in your world. Now, when stepping into the game of redstone, you can easily get lost. It is very complicated. When I was starting off, it's just so deep and expansive, it's very, very difficult to figure it all out in one course. That's why I'm here. Hopefully, in this full course, you will be a Minecraft expert at the end, just like a pro redstoning with the best. Now it is time to learn the minimal, bare bones of redstone. This is how you find it, how you power it, what the basic functions are, and where you can place it to make sure that your redstone machines work. Let me jump in and help you out. Ah! Oh my gosh! I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a redstone cage of emotion. Okay, this is redstone, and you'll find it inside of caves. When you break redstone ore, you get redstone dust, which is all of this fancy stuff right here. So a redstone ore can be placed on the ground. When you place it on the ground, it kind of looks like a dollop of blood or something gross. And then when you put one next to it, it will create a line like this. Now, if you want it to bend, you put down another one, and it will bend just like this. Punching it once will go ahead and bring it up off the ground. I'm in creative mode, so it's just destroying the redstone, but you would get an entity back if you were in your survival game. Redstone has two states, powered and unpowered. So here it is powered. Here's unpowered. Of course, it's darker in color. When powered, it also emits these particles, so yeah, you can kind of tell from far away where a redstone line ends. And it does. It does end. And so here at the 15 block mark is where the current stops, and you can see that all of this redstone is just not powered. So that can be a problem for a lot of users. And now, if you may have heard that redstone lasts 16 blocks, and if you are some sort of Rain Man, you can tell that this actually ends at the 15th block. The 16 block mark comes in that you can actually power an item here on the 16th block. So if I grab this redstone lamp and place it down, it will be powered. And so, you know, that's a powered redstone lamp. If it's unpowered, it sort of looks like that. So just to let you know. Now, you may say, well, if I can only get, you know, 15 blocks away from the source of my redstone signal, well, that's kind of a bummer. Well, there's an in-game mechanic to fix that. It is called the repeater. If you throw down a repeater, it will restart the redstone signal, and so you can get much longer lengths. So now we have a redstone line which will reach all the way over here. We're going to get a little bit more into the repeater a little bit later, and it has a few extra functions. But just know that you can repeat your redstone signal with a repeater. I'm not going to get into crafting recipes of any of these blocks. This is more of a tutorial on theory of redstone, not actually a walkthrough on how to create any redstone creation. So, let's move on. These are things in-game that will create a redstone current. So, first off, the most basic is a redstone torch. It's always on, unless if, well, we're going to get to the ways that this redstone torch would be powered off a little bit later. But for now, let's just say that it constantly sends out a redstone signal, and it's powering these redstone lamps right here. By the way, a fun drinking game is to drink every single time I say redstone in this episode. So that is just the most basic, is a redstone torch. Next is a lever. A lever is a very easy item to create, and it can toggle on and off the current. So if you just want to leave it on or leave it off, you can do either of those. Next is the button, and the button sends a second pulse of redstone. Around 20 ticks long, it will just send that current down and then turn itself off. Around in the same vein of that is a pressure plate. A pressure plate does just about the same thing as a button, but with your feet instead of actually punching the button. There are different types of buttons and pressure plates, and even analog pressure plates, which we will get into later. Next is some tripwire. Works just like the button and the pressure plate, except it is a tripwire causing the start of the redstone signal instead of the other devices. And finally is a redstone block. It works very much like the torch, except it really can't be turned off, and it can be moved with pistons, which is useful in creating compact designs. So just remember the redstone block. Now, one of the hardest things that was that I found when starting off with redstone is, where does the redstone current come from? So I have sort of a scenario here to sort of show it off, where a redstone current will be pulled from. So first, this is a source block, this red wool. And so when I place an item on the source block, it's going to go ahead and power. And I'm powering this with this lever, so you can see on and off state. Now, the areas... Now, how redstone power works is there's sort of a source block. So this is a source block because the lever is powering it. And then there's almost like a fall-off block or a residual power block. So this one is getting the residual power from the source block. And if we go out a block further, actually here, let me turn that one off just to show. If we go a block further, it's not going to be powered. So the areas that this source block will send residual power is in this configuration of above, below, behind, and to the side. Now, it does not send it diagonally, so you won't get any power diagonally, and you won't get any two blocks out. So just keep that in mind. Now, this was also, I'm going to go ahead and sort of jump ahead to a little bit extra, is that this right here, this lever, this is also a redstone source block. I couldn't make it wool because it still needs to be a lever, but that means that over here on the sides of the lever, and the front of the lever, of course that won't work, on the front of the lever is also where you can get redstone power, and nowhere else will the redstone come from. And so this allows you to do things like this, where you put a redstone line in front or just right below the lever, and it will power it. A thing to note is that this redstone line is actually here, just this redstone right here is actually taking up a full block location. So if I wanted to put a redstone lamp in here, I can't, because this redstone, even though it doesn't look like it, is taking up the space of this full block. And that is why it's being powered, is because this whole block right here is being powered by the residual power of the source block. Now, moving on, I have sort of another little contraption, and this is for a redstone line. So let's say you're transporting redstone down a line. Let's go ahead and turn that on. And while it's moving across blocks, you will get power from the side of the block below the line, the block below that block and on the other side. Now, you may think, haha, I'm very smart. I bet if I put a block right here, it'll also be powered. Well, no. No, it won't be powered. So just keep that in mind, that it will power the block below it, and residual power will come out through the sides and bottoms, but you won't get any residual power on top of the line. Also, this redstone line ends inside of this block. When a redstone line travels and then it points at the end of this block, it will actually power that block. Now, just to show off, if this redstone line was to travel this way, it wouldn't actually be powering the block because there is no connection there. And I'll show that off once I finish showing off all of the places that you can get redstone from this source block, just like the other blocks over there. Now, if this redstone line was to go by the block instead of actually ending directly into it, it actually wouldn't power any of those redstone devices. So just keep that in mind. Now, let me show off a behavior of redstone that lies at the heart of most of the redstone machines or logic gates in game. And that is the behavior that when you have a redstone line that goes into a block and there is a torch on that block, if the line is powered, the torch will turn off. Or in other words, if there is a torch on a block and that block gets powered, the torch will turn off. And just to show this off, we have the powered torch, which is powering the redstone lamp. So you can tell when the torch turns on and off by when the lamp turns on and off. And so if we flip this, the torch will turn off. Even though there's power on this side, it hits this block, it powers this block, and then it turns off the redstone torch. This may not seem like all that amazing of a behavior, but it allows you to create sort of binary functions in the redstone. So a good way to start thinking about redstone is true or false or on or off or in binary, one or zero. So if it's on, it would be true or one. And if it's off, it would be false or zero. So keep that in mind as we move forward, that there's a whole bunch of different ways to think about redstone, and that this torch behavior lies at the heart of a lot of the redstone mechanics moving forward. I also want to mention that there are some new blocks in game that use redstone a little bit differently, but not a whole lot, a lot differently than the previous versions. This is pretty much a digital signal where when you turn something on, it turns on. These are what I like to call the analog blocks. It still sends out a signal. We're going to get into analog blocks a little bit later on in the course, but I'm just letting you know that I'm not covering them right now, but they do exist, and we will be covering them later in the course. Now, we've learned how to create a redstone signal, but what does this stuff do? Why would I ever use it? What possible contraption could I ever come up with? Well, here are some of the things that will take a redstone signal. First off is doors. Doors will open and close. Same thing with fence gates. They will open and close. This is one of my favorites. A rail will change direction based off of if it is powered or not powered. So you can send people one direction or another direction based off of redstone logic. You've seen it before because we've been showing it off a lot. These redstone lamps. I like showing them off because there's an obvious on and off state between these lamps. So redstone lamps can take it. Note blocks will be powered with redstone power. And so you could create musical symphonies. Dispensers and droppers, both are redstone activated. Sticky pistons and normal pistons are redstone activated. This is a powered rail, which will park a cart on it so that it won't roll down, and then it will send a cart a little bit faster if it is powered. And of course, redstone components are powered by redstone, so this repeater is powered by redstone. And then of course, TNT can be activated. Oh, wait. Okay, whoa. Aww, that's no fun. Next, let's learn about timing and Minecraft's internal time unit, the tick, and how it is important when it comes to your redstone machines. The way it works is Minecraft will update the blocks around you that are loaded in the chunk that you're in every once in a while. Every time that the game updates the blocks, that is called a tick. This tick happens around 20 times a second. That's why in a normal game, you may hear that you're running at 20 TPS, ticks per second. You also may know that on your multiplayer servers, you may hear people ask, man, how many ticks is this server running at? How many TPS are we running? Because you know that if you're running somewhere around 20, that is the sign of a healthy server. And if you're running lower in the 10s or 15s, you may be running on a laggy server that's chugging along there. So each one of these ticks is useful to us in game because we can use that to make sure that things work correctly in our Minecraft creations. We can make sure that a piston pulls back with enough time for it to be fully retracted before it moves out of the way, and so on. So, let's get into it. So, I have created a few little demonstration areas to show off the timing in game because it can be a little bit hard to see it happen because it is a little bit fast. In this first scenario, I have a line of redstone that is completely unfettered with. This is pretty much a direct line up to the redstone lamps here. On the other side, I have used the inverting behavior that happens when you power a block with a redstone torch on it. And I've done that a few times to show off the lag that this creates. And it's good to point out that this isn't actual lag. It's not detrimental. This is a behavior that we will expect. So let's go ahead. I have a button down here to start off the reaction. And you can see that down there, that redstone lamp powers before the one on the left. The right side is powered before the one on the left. And the reason that this happens is because it takes a tick for the redstone lamp to switch states, to turn from an on state to an off state. So we have four of those down the line, so that means four ticks, so about 1/5 of a second delay. And when we test it out, that is what we get. Very scientific is about a 1/5 delay. Now, let me show off a little bit of a different scenario. It's easier to see because you can't actually see the torches changing states because the block is in the way here. But with this, I'm going to use repeaters. Repeaters also have a one tick delay. Oops, I had this set up from practice. So let me get them all. Now they are both in the same state. So they both have a one tick delay per repeater, and you can see it running down the line. There's no way to get a repeater without a delay. You're always going to have a one tick delay per repeater. But we can show off the differences in time. So let's just go ahead and set all of these at an extra tick. What I'm doing is the repeater has a function that you can set different delay times by right-clicking on the back of the repeater. If it's all the way up at the front, it is the normal repeater delay, which is one. When you click it again, you get two ticks, three ticks, and four tick delay. So we're going to keep it at two. All of these are at two ticks, and you can see the difference as it goes down the line. It's about twice as slow. And we can do it even more and put it at its full delay on all of these. And you may be asking, why would I want to delay my redstone contraption? Well, like I said before, if you're trying to create a machine that needs one component to move out of the way before the other component finishes doing its thing, this is why having a delay would be useful. Or maybe you're trying to race the redstone. So here, let's try that. Let me sprint and hit the button. Anyway, so you can see how this might be useful to you. And that is a really large function of the redstone repeater, so keep it in mind when you're building your things that redstone repeaters can have a multiple delay setting. Next, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the repeater. The repeater has a few more behaviors that make it important. First off is the function of it being a diode. So we have two repeater setups here. One of these setups work, and the line and the redstone line goes down just perfect. The other one doesn't. Every time I hit this button, it kind of stops at this repeater, and it just doesn't go any further. The reason is because repeaters act as a diode in that they can only take an input from one direction, and they will only output in the opposite direction. So here, if you look at this redstone repeater, you may see a little bit of a triangle or arrow etched into the top of it. And that is by design. This repeater will only fire this way. So here I have put repeaters in the wrong direction, and that means that no redstone signal can go through it. This is also useful because redstone can't come at the side of the repeater. It won't fire if it's right next to it, and it won't break up that line. So you can create contraptions that use this to your advantage. So this is a pretty compact scenario for being able to have three buttons that are associated with three blocks right next to it. And so if I hit this button, the block on the far side will start. And this sort of compact scenario really couldn't be achieved any other way because the repeaters here make sure that the redstone lines don't get all tangled up together. Because if, just to show it off, if you don't understand what I'm saying, is if you created a arch just like this, and then you thought, well, I'm going to create an inner arch, well, all of a sudden your redstone gets all tangled together. So the use of these repeaters is very useful. And it also shows off the delays that can be associated with redstone based off of, you know, just this short trip around the outer edge versus the inner edge, which almost feels instantaneous. That outer edge seems to take forever. So that is the behavior of repeaters. Now let's move on to some behaviors of redstone that may be a little bit confusing at first. You may see this and think, how the heck is this redstone being powered? Does he have something underneath? No, he doesn't. Well, the reason that this is happening is that this is a torch, which is a full source block in this area. So this full source block, kind of like how this redstone being laid on the top of these blocks is taking up a full block area, same thing with this torch, and so it is powering this block next to it. Same thing over here. This is even a further distance that it seems that the redstone is traveling, but remember that this is a source block, and this redstone is taking up this full block, and so that is why this works. And then also, it can power a redstone on top of these blocks, because this is powering this block, and the residual energy is flowing into this line. That is why it's powered. Now, especially with this bottom scenario, this can be used to your advantage in a lot of ways. And just to show it off, here is a pressure plate with redstone underneath, and it will activate whenever you step on it. And so you can imagine that this is quite useful because you could have a completely hidden redstone line. If this was a full floor, or maybe this is all dirt so you couldn't see, that could be very, very useful to you that behavior exhibits over here. Next, some other behaviors of redstone is that it can go up a block, so you don't have to keep everything just solid on the ground. It will move up a block and it will move down a block, but that is the limit of redstone. It will not move up a two-block distance. If an easy way to think about it is if you can jump the distance with your player. So I can jump a one-block distance, but I cannot jump a two-block distance. It's just impossible. Well, then redstone can do the same. So keep that in mind. You're just not able to run redstone right up the side here. Everyone wishes that they could just place redstone just right there and have a line, just like a wire. Another behavior is that redstone will not move diagonally through blocks. So you may think, oh, but look, that is it's so thin. I can just look at the thinness right there. I'm sure that the redstone will just move right between. No, it actually cuts it off, and you can't get a redstone current through a diagonal block like this. That is with a solid block. Now, there are ways to get around this using a few other blocks. Glass will actually allow the redstone to pass through, so you can have a connected redstone current. And the other thing that will allow this is a half slab. And this sort of just logically makes sense because it's a half slab, and so you could see the space. And so you may want to keep that in mind. Now, something that I don't have in this course, but I do want to point out, is that there is a way to vertically transfer redstone very, very easily. You can place redstone on the top of glowstone, just like this. It's good to point out that you cannot put any redstone at all onto glass. No torches, repeaters, anything. Nothing will ever be able to be placed on glass. But you can place it on top of redstone, and glowstone. And glowstone exhibits the behavior of glass in that it will create a link between the two redstone pieces or wire on the ground. So if I power this, it will power that as well. Now, this looks very interesting, and you can continue this setup by taking your redstone and raising it up. This isn't a glitch. This is expected to happen. This is an expected behavior of redstone. But you can only go up a redstone line and not down it. So there are some behaviors of redstone. Next, in the 1.5 Mojang update, codenamed the Redstone Update, redstone components were added that act more in an analog function. These can be useful in creating smarter redstone creations that are able to look at specific quantities of other items. It won't be as hard to master as you think, so let me just jump straight in. So, what do I mean when I say analog redstone? Here is an example of it with this daylight detector. It is true that it is still pretty digital in that you have an on and an off state. The redstone can't be half on or half off or anything like that. But the way that it is measuring items in games or quantities in games is sort of digital, analog. So you can see that we're getting analog in a digital world. So you can see that this redstone lamp just powered on. And what is happening is this daylight detector is looking at the amount of sun in the world and adding a redstone level according to the quantity that is in the world. So we're moving along here. I'm not exact. It looks like we're around 10 or 11 blocks to the end here. And as the sun progresses further and further, it will add extra current to the end of the redstone, powering it more and more. And then as the sun goes down, it will take that power away. This is known, I like to call it a power level. It's just kind of an easy way to think of it. So just to show it off, let's say the sun is at noon. I just moved it using command block. Here it is fully powered with the full 15 power level behind it. So this is a 15 block redstone current. Let's try moving it to night. So sun is setting, and here we go. We only have power level of two. And then if we just went down to one, and then I can set it back to midday or rising, and we have sort of a medium here. So that is what I mean by analog redstone components, is that it is sending out a power level associated with the quantity that it is looking at. Some more of these redstone components are pressure plates. There is a iron pressure plate and a golden pressure plate. The iron pressure plate requires more items to set it off. This is not set off by players in game, but only by falling entities. So when we drop a whole bunch of entities on it, I believe that it is 42 entities to set off a single redstone current. So we can hit it again and send off a whole bunch more entities, and it will bump up to two here. The gold pressure plate works just about the same way, except it only needs four entities to set off a single redstone current. So every time that four of these nice little iron bars fall on it, it goes up a power level. So that is a few of the analog components in game. Next is the comparator. The comparator adds analog functions to items that really don't have any way of having an analog component associated with it. So if you place a comparator on the side of an item that has an inventory, like this chest has an inventory full of emeralds, it will output a power level with a ratio of how full this item is. And so you can see this is 15 blocks of redstone dust on the floor. And because this is a completely full chest, all 15 are powered. If I go ahead and grab a whole bunch of this emerald, it's an emerald rush, you can see that now the redstone current is a lot less powered. But, of course, I really don't want all of these emeralds, so let me just give them all back because who wants that many emeralds? And now we are powered again. So some of the items that can added to, we have a whole bunch of comparators added to a whole bunch of different blocks. We have a furnace. A furnace can have an inventory. We have a dropper or a dispenser. Both of these have inventories. We got splash potions in there. Also, the brewing stand will have an inventory. And you can tell that the comparator is working because of the redstone lamps that are powered on behind them. Next is the item hopper. Also, these detector rails will detect the amount of items in the chest that it is laying on top of. Very, very useful stuff. Next is this good old CD player or jukebox. If I'm not going to actually, I don't want music to play, so I'm not going to put the disc in there. But you can tell that the redstone lamp turned off. And so those are the items that the comparator can be added to get this analog function out of. And why is this useful? Well, let's say you wanted to know that your hopper was full. Now you have a way of telling exactly how full it is. Next is a trapped chest. This chest is different than the normal chest because you can see sort of a little bit of red around the clasp here. And the trapped chest will output a signal depending on how many people are inside of this trapped chest. So you can see the singular redstone current down here, the particles coming off of the chest. That is because I'm inside the chest. Once I leave the inventory of the chest, the particles go away. When I open it, they come back. So that is a function of the trap chest. You don't need a comparator to show that off. And a little bit more of showing off how the comparator works, let's talk about the functions of this amazing block in Minecraft. The first function that it does is it will compare two signals, and if the one signal is larger than the other signal, it will turn off the redstone current going through it. So the two signals that you can have is an A signal, which is this signal right here. You can remember it because the comparator makes sort of an A on the top. And then the B signal. The B signal comes in from the side here to create that, to have a secondary B input. And then some people think of the output as C, but it's also just the singular output, so I'll just call it output. So what it is going to do is it is going to compare the B side, and if the B side has a greater power level than the A side, it will shut off this current. So we have the power level marked here. This is power level 15. Power level 15, because this is power level 16 and then 15 going in. I actually think this is 15 and then 14. We may be a little bit off in our counting, but it doesn't matter because everything is consistent. So if I turn this on, it acts the way that I just described, in that this B side is greater than A, so the output turns off. Now, if we don't use power level 15 and we go over here and use power level 10, 10 is less than 12. This is a length of power level 12, so a length of however many that is, 4. And then if we turn that on, we can tell that power level is less, so of course the output stays on. Now, this comparator has a secondary function. If you right-click the comparator, it raises that torch, and now it is in subtraction mode. Yes, it is a calculator and a comparator all in one. And what it calculates is the difference between A and B. It will subtract B from A, or if I was to write out the equation, it would be A minus B. So here we have a power level of 12. And a power level of 10. So obviously, easy math. It should give us a power level of 2 when we do that. And yes, indeedy, it does. We have two redstone level of 2 at the end. Now, you may be thinking, does it do negative math? So if we have power level 15 here, and going into power level 12, that would be negative 3, and the answer is no. No, it doesn't do negative math. It just turns off the redstone current. So that is the comparator. Next, let's talk about logic gates. Logic gates are used in the real world every day, billions and billions of times. They are electronic switches that run all of the things in the real physical world. You can build them in Minecraft using redstone. I'm here to teach you some of the simple ones. Things can get complicated very, very fast. So first, let me go ahead and build one of these logic gates in front of you so you can sort of see how it works. This logic gate will be one of the simplest. It's called an AND gate. Okay, so right here, I have sort of a little scenario built up for us already. How an AND gate works is you have two inputs, and each of the inputs, when they're turned on, it will turn the logic gate on as well. You can have this one and this one turned on, and it will turn on your output. So first, just looking at this scenario, our output will be this torch right here, and our inputs will be these levers. And you can see we have a problem already. This redstone torch is already turned on. We need it to actually be turned off for this gate to work. So in order to do that, we are going to use the redstone logic that we know of already to turn this off. How do we do it? I'll give you some time, just like Blue's Clues. That's right, we power the block that it is sitting on. So let me go ahead and grab some of my tools. I'm going to grab redstone, redstone torch, and a lever, just in case. So to turn this off, let's go ahead and place a torch here. So now we have a power, and then let's run some redstone to it. And there, now it has turned off. Now, I want to point out, once again, that this redstone direction is very crucial, the fact that the redstone line is going into the block. So if I accidentally put one here, the torch will turn on instead. Now, this is an AND gate, and we need two inputs, so let's do the same thing on the other side. Some redstone here, here, and here, and a torch. And now our output is off. That is a good first step. Now it's pretty simple. Let's just go ahead and wire up these. Now my input is already on, so let's turn both of those off. Let's wire up this inverter to our first input and our second inverter to the next input. And it works just as promised. If I turn this input on, it should. We're actually getting a bug here because obviously you can see the redstone is powering this. This is actually off because there's no particles coming off of it. But it still turned on, which is I actually had this problem earlier. I don't know what it is. I'm just going to update the redstone and just show you that, yes, it is working. See, this is a weird problem. Now it's on. Those are both powered, but I don't know what is wrong with my Minecraft game. But sometimes you do have redstone bugs. If you just do this a whole bunch of times, I'm sure eventually it'll just work out. Here, let's just destroy that and put that back. And turn that on. Okay, good. Actually, it is working now. So this gate has worked, and the inverter worked just fine. This redstone is off, and this input needs to be turned on. So let's go ahead and turn it on, and bam, there is our output. This is giving us the desired behavior of redstone, where you need to have both inputs on, this one and this one, to create an output. This is a very, very simple gate. You know what's interesting is this kind of looks like a. I'm sure it's a coincidence, but anyway, this is a very simple gate, and this is called the AND gate. So, let's get into a few other gates. I'm not going to build them as I've built this AND gate in front of you, but let's just talk about some of the functions that it does. This is the first gate. It's called a NOT gate. This is actually what I was describing earlier with the behavior of the redstone current flowing into a block that has a torch on it, and it will invert the current. This is an inverter, and the appropriate term for this is a NOT gate. This is not a gate. It's not a gate. This is a gate. Anyway, thank you for humoring me. Next, it is a gate. It's called a not gate. Next is this OR gate. In the OR gate, you have multiple inputs, and any of the inputs could be turned on to turn on the output. So if I turn on this input, it turns on the output. It could be this input, or this input, or this input. So that's what the OR gate does. Now, you may think, God, this seems so sloppy. All it is a whole bunch of redstone running into the same thing. Well, you can isolate your inputs by breaking this, putting down a block, and then using repeaters to act as a diode so that the redstone current doesn't come back towards the other input. So now it works just as mentioned before, but it is a little bit tidier. We use a little bit more resources, but now your inputs are sort of sterilized and off on their own because of the diode feature that the repeater has. So moving on, we have a NAND gate. This NAND gate is one of the first gates to show off that many gates have sort of a right hand and a left hand. The big difference is that in an AND gate, which is what we showed off before, when the inputs were off, the output was off. But in this NAND gate, when the inputs are off, the output is on instead of off. So it's basically the exact same gate. And in fact, just to show you, this is really a not compact gate that I built before, but it works. This is a much more compact gate in that it only uses pretty much this scenario, this two torches with a redstone in the middle as the difference. So it just works just like the AND gate where you have to have both inputs powered on and then the output will power off, which is sort of the opposite of the input. So it works just like an AND gate except that it's a NAND gate because the output is different. And that is also true with a NOR gate. So if the OR gate was the right hand, this is the left hand, where the output is inverted, where on the OR gate, when your input was off, your output was off. Here, when your input is off, your output is on, and that works just as desired. Next, let's get into some really cool stuff. This is an XOR gate. The X allows this gate to function like a switch, but with both sides, with both inputs. So if I turn this input on, it will turn the output on. And if I turn this input on, it will turn the output off. So it is always, no matter what you do, every single time that you flip the switch, the output will change its state from on to off. This could be very, very useful if you only wanted one light switch in the house to turn on and off the lights overhead, and now you didn't have to worry about one always being on. You could use this XOR gate because every single time you flipped a switch, it would turn on or off the output. And looking at the logic of this, it's pretty dang simple. Let's turn both of the inputs off. You sort of have this buffer here in the middle with this torch, which will keep these torches on the side off. And then when you power this input, it will turn off both of these torches, but it turns on this one because this one is no longer powered, using that yes-no functionality that I was talking about as the heart of all of redstone logic. So now we have the same scenario, but if we turn them both on, then all of the torches are off, which changes the setting once again. Very, very cool stuff. This is called the XOR gate. Next, let's talk about the XNOR gate. So because that N is in there, it works just as the XOR gate, but in the opposite fashion when both of the inputs are false or off or zero, then the output is true or on or one. So it works just the same where when you flip one and flip the other, it just changes the output. Now, this one is very interesting. This is called an implies gate. And how this one works is if the input B is turned on, your input A can't really do anything. So it's almost like a lock on your system. And then if you turn this on, the lock is off, and now your input will actually change the output. This is really, really neat if you, say, wanted a lock on your bass and you wanted to be able to control it. As long as this is turned off, the output will always, always, always be on, no matter what you do to input A. But if you turn it on, then you are able to control it with input A, which is really, really a useful feature. So those are a few simple logic gates in game. There are a lot more. Logic gates have been around since the beginning of computer hardware. So if you are an enthusiast of computer hardware, you can jump straight into it because you already know what all these gates do. If you aren't, you may have to do a little bit of research to make sure that everything is working exactly how you expected it. Now, we've got the most complicated of the basics out of the way. It's time to put the pieces all together and show you what you can do with these redstone creations. First, let me show off some things that you may build on your server. Okay, so first, we have this unassuming wall. It's just a wall. I'm sure nothing is weird with it. The fact that there is a lever in an item frame, it means nothing. Nothing at all. Okay, so let's grab this lever. This is a wall with a secret, as you can most likely tell. On this wall, if I take this lever and put it on a block and flip it, nothing happens, because there is only a single block in-game that will accept this redstone current, and voila, secret door. So just to show that off, again, if I put this lever on any of these blocks, it won't do anything. You have to know the secret block, oops, or you can just be in creative mode and break the wall. You have to know the secret block, which I believe is this one. Nope, I believe is this one. There we go. And now the door opens. How this works is it uses a Jeb door. So if you are wondering how this door creation works, it actually uses, I mean, just to talk quickly about how weird some redstone can get, there are definitely bugs in redstone. You're never going to be free of all the redstone bugs. So far, I've taught you that this would be a source block right here, and that this would get auxiliary power from the source block. Unfortunately, with pistons, it doesn't work that way, and both pistons fire for reasons I don't understand. And just to show off that this isn't true with other scenarios, if I put this on top and switch that, only one will work. And it's not just like this area is weird. No, it's just pistons act weird. But anyway, that allows us to create a Jeb door, which is a really compact way of making the door. So what I've done is I have inverted the signal, whoop, so that when there is no lever on the wall, it will power on and all of the pistons will fall into place. And then when we put when we put a lever on the wall in the correct place, then it unpowers and all of the pistons move out of the way. And this is also a good example of how timing works. First, when they become unpowered, the first thing to update is this redstone right here, which retracts the pistons away from this first layer of wall. That's these pistons right here. And then the pistons on the side have to pull them back. But we have a 2-tick delay so that the pistons can move all the way back out of the way. And then these side pistons can move them away from the doorway, and a person can walk through. So that is how this door works. Let's go ahead and keep it safe. Keep it hidden. Okay, next, the daylight detector is probably one of my favorite things in-game, because I don't like carrying around a clock with me, and having something that can detect the daylight and turn things on and off automatically based off of the time of day in Minecraft is really, really useful. So if I use this command block to set the time to night, the lights turn on. And if I set the time today, the lights turn off. Kind of a nice feature. It sort of keeps the area lit. And then also, it's just a really nice indicator of if it is nighttime without having to look through windows or, say, if you have this in the basement of your house, in your sorting room, or whatever. Next, this is definitely one of my favorite things ever. This is a door, which I can't get through because it is iron. I can't just right-click and open. It needs to have a redstone current to open the door. And this is a passcode feature. So if I hit a button, I can confirm that I hit it, and it'll open eventually. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just showing what someone else might do. The white button actually resets, and the code for this is blue, yellow, and bam, the door opens. And then it resets itself, and it's kind of a quick open and close, so there we go. How this works is pretty ingenious. Over here, we have redstone blocks, and if this line is being powered, then you have the incorrect code. So you can see yellow and blue are the blocks with these raised areas. So you need to push these redstone blocks down. But if you get the code incorrectly by, let's say, pushing any of, let's say pushing this purple one down, then the block will be down here and it will continue to power the line, which means that it will not fire. This white one right here will reset everything. And what's cool is it doesn't have to be in a specific order, so it can be yellow, blue, and then the door opens. But if by accident you have, you know, you've hit green, it won't open. But once you hit green again, it will. Just kind of a neat little passcode. Next, this is an item sorter using redstone as the back end and these item hoppers as the front end. So here we have some redstone, some more redstone, a little bit more redstone, and even more. We're a little bit redstone crazy here on this episode. So if I take these items, and let's throw a few in there, and a few in there, and a few over here, and let's just throw them all in. Well, this item sorter will place these blocks back where we found them. Redstone in here, the redstone blocks in here. I believe that this was the torch and this was the repeater. Let's see if we've gotten any torches yet. We haven't. It uses these item hopper delay settings where as long as this is powered, it's not going to go through. And it's just a really, really neat system of, you know, now this hopper is the one that is sorting things out. Let's see how we have more. Okay, so it's working on the repeaters right now. Let me just move the torch to the front. And it should, yep, there you go. It flips into torch mode and does that. It's just a really, really neat item sorter. And you can check that out. So this is useful things that you may create in game. Now, let me show you some of the crazy stuff that people make in Minecraft using ridiculous, I mean, unlimited resources and crazy stuff. So let me go ahead and join the server. So here we are. First, this looks to be, I've just been flying around. I haven't even been asking people. I'm just assuming what a lot of these things are. This looks to be a passcode. And what you do is you input a code here on the front of this pad, and then it goes back and checks its memory to see if your code is correct. It looks like these are the memory cells right here. It's these torches back here are what checks the memory, and then these lines that you're seeing at the bottom are where it will send that signal to see if it is true or false. Really, really cool sort of, you know, digital pad. Now, then there's a lot of other creations kind of around in this area that I'm not incredibly sure what they do. They may be, you know, these may be working projects. This one over here, it looks to be a computer of some type. Most of these arrays are most likely memory cells. And down here you can see clock control and reset counter. I'm not going to hit any of these buttons because I'm very afraid that I would break it. Then you have some outputs right here to see if these are powered. So current instruction, and it will give some sort of binary code to tell you, it looks like, and this is all speculation, and then you can reset the flags of the device. Very, very cool stuff. If we look down here in the details, we may be able to see, it looks like they're using pistons as their memory holder, which is cool because you can reset it to whatever you want. It doesn't look like that at all. It looks like this may just be all reset. And then over here, it looks like they're working on screens. So each of these memory cells would capture a single pixel on this screen, and so they're displaying pixel art on the screen by pushing out pistons that correspond with that pixel on the screen. Really, really, really cool stuff. Here's another one over on... No, this isn't... sorry, I've got all mixed around. But you can see that this stuff is literally coding, like hard coding, using early methods of AND gates and NOR gates and logic matrices and memory cells to create binary structures inside of Minecraft that it can be pushed to the extreme. And you can even create very, very complex things in sort of compact scenarios. So I just wanted to show off that, yes, it gets crazier from here. Thank you so much for watching this episode of OMG Craft. I hope that you've learned something. I hope that you have taken something away from it. And congratulations for you for getting through all of Redstone. It is an accomplishment on your part. If you want to get future episodes of OMG Craft, you can do so by subscribing. Either search for OMG Craft in iTunes or subscribe via YouTube at youtube.com/OMGCraft. Big thanks to Cheeto and Jeff Needles for helping out with this episode more than normal. And I will see you guys on another episode of OMG Craft.